been working really since 2020 to find a more sustainable funding model for parks in Lexington. So parks rely on general fund dollars, which can be variable. And certainly in the past several years, recent memory, those numbers have been quite low. So I think in fiscal 20, there was $187,000 for parks capital projects all across the city in over 100 parks. So the urgency was really there. And of course, the Parks Master Plan from 2018, which Victoria was involved in, it found that parks needed $5 million annually in capital. The inflation-adjusted figure is $8 million. So this parks funding ballot referendum really delivers that sustained and consistent capital funding for our parks really every year on a consistent basis. So we can really make tremendous strides on that Parks Master Plan, obviously improving the quality of life in Lexington, public safety, and really economic development as well. When you invest in parks, you can attract better jobs to your city, and you can really talk about raising the standard of living.
Victoria, before I ask you, what is the, and I think it was alluded to, I'm sure, in the discussion, but the actual assessment, the question that will be on the ballot, if in fact it is, you know, gets all the way through the process here at City Hall.
Sure. So the ballot language establishes a dedicated parks fund, which can be used for parks capital projects. So that rate is 2.25 cents per $100 of all real property. So the average homeowner in Fayette County would pay about $53 a year or a dollar a week. And in exchange for that, they get that consistent, appropriately scaled parks funding. So neighborhood parks, playgrounds, walking trails, recreational facilities all across this city can really be adequately cared for into the future.
And Victoria, let me just get, why do you think it's important to have this?
Well, you know, I came to parks as a retired nurse, and that's how I got on here, community health and all that. But it's just been such a lesson in civics about how if we care about these things, we all have to come together and work for them. And this, when we realized we had this problem right after the master plan, the very next year, we were woefully underfunded, and we were also down, how can we put so much time into it. And we just started doing research, and we went back to 2001 minutes of, and people even then were talking about it. So we're just really trying to find a structural change that will keep us with our parks repaired and healthy and good looking and inviting for our generations to come, for our children and their children. That's what we want for Lexington.
Is there, I was asking Monica, and when she suggests I speak with the two of you about, you know, is there a greatest need in terms of how to use the money? Is there a greatest need in terms of how, what this might, money might be used for? Okay.
We don't really have like one certain project. We are very concerned about every park and every neighborhood throughout the county. One of the things that's really exciting that we've done with our website, which is ParksFundingLex.com, pardon me, ParksFundingLex.com, on our website, you can go there and put in where you live, and it tells you all the projects in your neighborhood and their priority, and they're just waiting in the pipeline to be done. So we've asked the citizens. We had 60 in-person meetings, focus groups, where we asked people what they needed, what they wanted, what problems were in their neighborhood, and they're on the master plan. You know, you might think, oh, we got some ARPA money after COVID, and aren't we doing great? But you will see on there's over 400 projects still waiting to be done.
I was going to ask that question because you know that, I'm sure maybe you have gotten that as far as the federal money helped, you know, I mean, there was an infusion of pretty good federal money, but so what, how much did that help, and what is still needs to be done?
When you talk about what happened with the original master plan in 2018, at that time it said we needed $5 million a year for the next 20 years, $100 million problem. We do our master plan every 10 years, so we'll do it again in 28, but we did a little re-up, kind of an internal thing, just a couple weeks ago, and now we know that with inflation, that number is $123 million. So we kind of joke that deferred maintenance is the gift that keeps on taking, and that's exactly what's happening when you see these numbers go up and up and up, you know, combined with inflation for construction costs. Another thing that we really like about this project is when you have enough money to pave a large place, it's like shopping at Costco. You get a better deal rather than just putting your finger in the dike and only paving this little bit and this little bit and this little bit at a time or repair. So we talk about capital repair and replace, and that's what we want to do, keep everything shiny as a new penny.
Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, you know, what another really exciting piece of this plan is that all of the background homework was done in the 2018 master plan. You know, we know that 90% of Lexington residents visit parks. 60% of them come at least once a month. And when you ask those people, you know, what do you want parks to do? How do you want the department to spend their time? Three of the top five things they say are upgrade, buy, and build. 88% of residents in Lexington want to see parks upgraded. So all the homework's done. We have all the projects, over 400 remaining in the pipe. We just have to solve for the money problem. And the referendum is the perfect way to solve for the money problem into the future and for truly generational impact.
Very good. Did either one of you just now mention, how many parks are there total in this city?
We say 105.
105.
We have some land that we can't afford to develop that has been donated by, you know, people when they die.
Okay.
36 neighborhood parks. That's a big one.
36
neighborhood parks. So 36 playgrounds in people's backyards. You know, we have to make sure that those facilities are safe and upgraded. And that's really kind of where the rubber meets the road here is when we're talking about walking trails, when we're talking about playgrounds, 36 and neighborhood parks all across the community. And that's what this money goes to.
So really, it's not, or I mean, could any of it eventually be used for new parks or not? Is it mostly attending to current parks or new parks?
It is.
It's mostly attending to new parks. Neighborhood parks.
Yeah.
We do have already in the city system a parks acquisition fund that developers pay into, you know, when they develop land. Right now there's not a lot in there, but so we're focusing on maintaining what we've got.
Yeah.
I think another point we didn't say that, I don't mean to just take all your time.
No.
One of the things I think that's really been exciting and important, and all the people who have done all the work on this, is that it's so fiscally responsible. It might be something harder to teach our voters and share with people, we're putting another tax on you, but, you know, buying in bulk, planning ahead, all of those kinds of things end up being the penny-pinching way to do this, the most fiscally responsible. And it's just, we're ready for that challenge. We just felt like this was the right way to do it. Some cities, you know, take out bonds and pay interest and do all that kind of stuff for their parks, and we don't want to do that. So we need to get that point across.